Blog Talk Radio.
When there's confusion.
my friends. Imagine standing at a crossroads where every path seems shrouded in mystery and uncertainty. You feel the weight of choices, each path promising different outcomes and experiences. It's in such moments that the cry of our hearts echoes the plea of the psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 133. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. This profound verse isn't just a request. It's an admission of our need for divine guidance in the maze of life. Now, if you believe that God can make a difference in your life today, let us stand together in faith. I will pray a fervent prayer with you in the mighty name of Jesus. So watch until the end and open your hearts to receive the blessings of this prayer. We live in a world where our steps can easily veer off into paths of distraction or danger. The choices we make, the roads we take, the relationships we nurture, and the values we hold dear all require wisdom that transcends our limited understanding. In the Bible, the notion of steps often symbolizes our life's journey. It reminds us that life is not static, but a series of movements and decisions. And in this journey, we are not alone. We have a guide who promises to lead us through his word. Reflect on your life for a moment. Think about the times you felt lost, unsure of which direction to take. Remember the moments of decision, big or small, that shaped the course of your journey. At times, the way ahead may have seemed clear, illuminated by the light of your understanding. But how often have we found ourselves at a dead end, or worse, on a perilous path, simply because we trusted in our wisdom? This is why our hearts echo the psalmist's prayer. Guide my steps. It's a prayer of humility, acknowledging that we don't have all the answers. It's a prayer of faith, trusting that God, who sees the end from the beginning, will guide us. It's a prayer of surrender, yielding our will and desires to his perfect plan. When we invite God to direct our steps, we are not giving up our freedom. Rather, we are exercising the highest form of freedom, choosing to walk in the light of his wisdom and love. Now, consider the second part of the verse. And let no iniquity have dominion over me. This is crucial. Our journey is not just about finding the right path, but also about walking in righteousness. It's a recognition that our choices are not morally neutral. They can lead us either towards or away from the path of integrity and purity. Asking God to guide our steps is also a plea for him to protect us from the influence of sin and wrongdoing that can so easily entangle us. In our journey through life, there are many voices clamoring for our attention. Voices of society, culture, personal ambition, and even our desires. These voices can sometimes drown out the still, small voice of God, leading us astray. But when we earnestly seek God's guidance, he promises to lead us. As Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6 reminds us, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. This is a promise of divine direction and intervention. But how does God guide us? He guides us through his word, which is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, as Psalm 119, verse 105 declares. He guides us through the inner prompting of the Holy Spirit, who speaks to our hearts and minds, guiding us into all truth as affirmed in John 16, verse 13. He also guides us through wise counsel from others, through circumstances, and through the peace that comes from making decisions aligned with his will. Embracing God's guidance requires us to let go of our desire to control every aspect of our lives. It means trusting that even when the path seems uncertain or challenging, God is working out His perfect plan for us. It's about believing that He knows what is best for us and is capable of leading us to our destiny. This trust doesn't come easy, but it's a journey worth embarking on. As we navigate through the complexities of life, let us remember that our steps are ordered by the Lord, as Psalm 37, verse 23 tells us. When we commit our way to the Lord, He will establish our steps. This doesn't mean we won't face challenges or make mistakes, but it does mean that we can rest in the assurance that God is with us every step of the way, guiding, correcting, and leading us towards His purpose for our lives. So, today, as we stand at the crossroads of life, let's make a conscious decision to ask God to guide our steps. Let's pray with sincerity and open our hearts to His leading and also be willing to follow wherever He guides. In doing so, we will find that our paths become clearer, our decisions wiser, and our lives more aligned with His perfect will. Now, to all those within the sound of my voice, let us go to the Lord in prayer. I want you to pray this prayer with me so that you can have all the blessings of this prayer. You may also listen to this prayer daily as you build your faith and come in agreement. Let us pray to our gracious and loving God. Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, I come before You with a heart full of praise. You are the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the One who guides the stars and directs our steps. Your majesty and power are beyond our understanding, yet You care for us deeply. I thank You, Lord, for Your unending love, Your grace, and the countless blessings You bestow upon us each day. Your goodness and mercy follow us, and for this, I am eternally grateful. Thank You, Father, for the gift of life, for the air I breathe, and for the love I experience from You and those around me. In this moment of prayer, I humbly ask for Your forgiveness for my sins. Forgive me, Lord, for the times I have strayed from Your path. As I seek Your forgiveness, I also forgive those who have wronged me, releasing any bitterness and resentment in my heart. Cleanse me, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Lord, as I step into this new day, I pray for divine direction in all that I do. Guide my thoughts, decisions, and actions according to Your will. Help me to recognize Your voice leading me and grant me the wisdom to understand the plans You have for me. May Your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, illuminating every step I take. Protect me, O God, from missteps that lead away from Your will. I rebuke any plans of the enemy to cause confusion or to lead me astray. In the name of Jesus, I declare that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Shield me from harm and keep me on the path of righteousness so that I may walk in Your truth and integrity. Lord, I pray for strength and courage, especially in times of trial and uncertainty. When challenges arise, remind me that You are my rock and fortress. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am more than a conqueror through Him who loves me. In every difficult situation, grant me the fortitude to endure and the faith to trust in Your unfailing love and power. I ask for clarity of purpose, O Lord. Reveal to me the unique path You have set for my life. Let my actions and choices reflect the calling you have placed upon me. In the name of Jesus, I declare that my life is aligned with your divine purpose, and I am walking in the destiny you have ordained for me. Gracious Lord, teach me obedience and surrender as I seek to understand your will. Help me to submit my will to yours, knowing that your plans are higher than mine. In every decision, let me seek your face and follow your guidance. I bind any spirit of rebellion or pride in the name of Jesus, and I declare a heart that is receptive to your leading. Guide me in my relationships, Father. Bless my interactions with others and help me to build connections that honor you. I pray for wisdom in my dealings and for the ability to show your love and grace in all my relationships. I declare that my relationships are guided by your love and wisdom, bringing glory to your name. Grant me peace in decision-making, Lord. In moments of uncertainty, fill me with your tranquility, ensuring that my choices align with your will. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke any spirit of anxiety and confusion. I declare that in every decision, your peace reigns in my heart, guiding me to make choices that honor you. I pray for trust in your timing, Almighty God. Help me to be patient as I wait for your guidance, knowing that you make all things beautiful in your time. I rebuke any spirit of impatience or frustration in the name of Jesus. I declare that I will wait on you with faith and confidence, trusting in your perfect timing for every aspect of my life. Empower me with courage to follow your lead, Lord. Even when the path is unfamiliar or challenging, strengthen my resolve to walk in faith. I declare in the name of Jesus that I am fearless in pursuing the direction you have for me. I rebuke any spirit of fear or hesitation and claim boldness and confidence in following your call. I pray for my loved ones, Lord. May your blessings, guidance, and protection be upon them as well. Let them experience your love and grace in their lives. I declare that they too are walking in your divine purpose and are shielded by your mighty hand. Lord, as I say this prayer, together with everyone listening, I am grateful for every heart that is humbled before you right now. We come in agreement as we pray for each other, knowing that you are in our midst as you promised. We claim victory in your name, declare healing for those in need, and thank you for your protection and guidance. Together, we ask for the outpouring of your Holy Spirit to guide us and strengthen us in our daily walk with you. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering my prayer. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you were blessed by this prayer, type the word Amen in the comment section below. I declare that all the blessings of this prayer are now upon you, in the name of Jesus. You can help us to reach more persons and spread the gospel. You can do this by sharing the video with a friend or family member and by clicking the like button. Also remember to subscribe to our channel Daily Jesus Prayers for more videos that will bless your heart and uplift your spirit. We appreciate all your support. You're blessed to be a blessing. Please feel free to leave your prayer request in the comments section so that we can present them before God for your blessings and victory, and so that other believers on the YouTube platform and all over the world can join us and start praying for you right now. Stand in faith with us while we pray. To God be all the glory. May the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I enjoy these prayers, I tell you. Thank God for them. And grateful unto him this morning. We thank him for another Thursday morning. Hallelujah. Week ended, week ended. This week went by really fast. And since they upped the time, and it really goes by fast. But I'm thankful unto the Lord that he's always on our side in spite of us. He's always looking beyond our fault and yet meeting our needs. So I'm grateful unto him, and if he allow it, I accept what God allows. I'm better off anyway. Yeah, what I accept, what he allows. So listen, this morning, our topic is going to be the inside job, the biggest inside job. Yeah, I was I woke up this morning and I went over and checked on Sister Irene, and then I went back to bed, and as I was going on back to sleep, I began to talk to the Lord about today and the topic for the show for today. And when I got up, I still didn't have a topic, but when I come in here, and I began to talk to the Lord about it, I could hear that inside job, the biggest inside job. And so we're going to talk about the biggest inside job this morning, and a few other things. And we want to remember today and every day as we can that we want to be slow, quick to hear and slow to speak. Because when we get into this and very slow to anger, then we're blessed. Yeah, we're blessed, and we'll stay blessed because we're not all over the place in our mind. We're not angry about anything. We forgave everybody that we could remember who trespassed against us. We forgave their trespasses. And I'm sharing this because I know God is pleased with our behavior when we behave in this manner. Yeah. To think on these things too. Whatever's true, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, lovely. Good reports. We want to believe good reports. Somebody come and tell us something about somebody else and it's not a good report, we don't want to hear it. Keep that to yourself. Yeah, the only way I want to hear about somebody having a bad report is if I'm going to pray for them. And I had that happen yesterday. I got a call about two or three situations in one. And the mom was just distraught. She said, I'm tired. I can't keep doing this. And I let her vent, as they call it. You know, I let her talk, because the biggest thing in counseling is to listen. And so I let her talk and everything. And when she got through, when she asked me for prayer, she said, I call you because I need you to pray for us. So when she got through, we prayed the prayer of faith. And as I was sitting there praying, I'm talking about I was talking to the Lord while I'm praying out my mouth. And when it was over with, we hung up and everything. In about 3 minutes, she called me back with a quick testimony. I mean, before we finished the prayer, God had answered. And she said, and even on that other thing we prayed about too, it's already happened. They already contacted me. Just that quick, just that quick, just that quick. Because I'm remembering these days when he said, well, two or three. It was two of us. I remember me telling you about the movie, The Broken Box. Remember me telling you about The Broken Box movie? God showed me that movie for a reason. It was two, the social worker and the girl that they were looking for to put in the foster care, to put in the system. They never was able to get her. So she never did go into the system. So her dad don't have that against him, that his child went in the system. But look, her and the social worker prayed the prayer of faith, and what they prayed, God began to move. Because the social worker went looking for her, but she couldn't find her. So all this woman knew to do was go home, and at night after her shower and bedtime, before she went, she would drink a cup of tea and pray. She was looking all on a laptop or whatever she could think of that might, you know, would help her to find the girl. But they prayed. Listen, we got to pray more. That prayer faith, it makes us whole. It answers our problems. It fixes our situations. Praying, believing God. Praying, let go. After I prayed for them last night, I didn't keep hopping on that. I told God what I wanted to tell him. I was through. Because now that I made my request known unto him, I let it go because he got it now and he'll take care of it. And he did. And sometimes we keep praying because we're trying to rush his hand. He's trying to keep us where we are because where we are is going to bless us in the long run. But we let pride get in there, all kind of mess get in there, and I'm ready to go. Well, guess what? You keep on, he'll put you out of there. He'll get you out of there. And once you get out, it's not an easy fix. You ain't got nowhere else to get in for a long time. Or he may not put you in nowhere else because he had you in a place of safety. But you wanted out because no patience. You couldn't wait on God. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. I don't want to live here no more. I'm ready to move. I'm ready to move. I want me another house. Now, he gave you that one because you could afford it. And if you take some of the stuff out of there, it won't be so outgrown. But we don't want to do that. If you fix it up a little bit, go out there and redo your yard a little bit. Plant some flowers. Plant some plants, some trees or something. And wait on God. But we don't do that. Oh, we keep forcing his hands and forcing his hands. And he said, okay, let me tell y'all something. That's what Israel did to get a king. He told them what would happen. They said they didn't care. They wanted what everybody else had, the Philistines and everybody. They got that king and suffered at the king's hand. The giants come out against them. Saul couldn't fight no giants. God had kept them safe. He had been more than fair to them, but they just could not wait. If they could have waited, they would have been better off. If they just could have let patience had a perfect work, they would have been in time and wanting for nothing. But they could not do that. And many of us can't either. Oh, we got to have it right. And I don't care what nobody says. God, I'll talk to him about that later on. I'm talking to him about getting me out. That's all they want, to get out. But when you get out of that, where you going? Now, you constantly asking God for something different, but he put you right here in the spot that was best for you. You know all your neighbors. You know the church on the corner. Your kids been going to this school. They got friends at this school. On your job, everybody know you. You've been able to go in and ask the boss for a little advance money. They was able to help you out. But you want to move from all of this to go to strangers. get another job, start over, nobody know you. Your children going to this school, nobody know them. They got to make friends all over again, and that's not always easy. The teachers are different because you could not wait. You just couldn't do it because you let your flesh rule and reign. It wasn't God pushing you. You was pushing, trying to push God. But if we can wait, stand still and know that he is God. Guess what happened? Honey, we blessed in the city. We blessed in the field. We blessed when we come and when we go. We can cast down every stronghold. Sickness and poverty, it's got to cease. The devil is already defeated and we are blessed. Why, Barbara? I waited on God. Yeah, my three youngest, well, all four of my girls sang a song that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run. Yeah. They sang that, but we got to learn to wait on God. And it's already all right this morning in Jesus' name. And sometimes God can't plug us back in the way he had us plugged in, because the same people, when we got plugged in, they moved on. So these new people, where you're getting plugged in now, they don't have the same heart as the old people that first plug you in, hallelujah, to the new house, the new job, yeah, that kind of thing. So look, I'm looking at James this morning because we got to learn to wait. Yeah, be not wise in our own eyes. We got to learn to fear God and depart from evil. Depart from that thing that's pushing your patience, that's pushing you not to have patience. Oh, it's so bad on you until you say, I don't care. And when the devil hear that, he say, oh, she done opened the door. She don't care. I don't either. Let me go in and help her. He'll make your situation worse than you ever had it. Listen. James chapter 1, we starting at the first verse, says this: James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. See, because you're going to be tempted to step out of God because of your patience. You don't have any. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. When you got to stand still and wait on God, it's going to teach you some things. But when we say, I don't care, that means I don't even want the lesson. Let it be what it is. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you like wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You hear that? See, because we lacking some wisdom when we don't have no patience. And when we say, I don't care, we got to go back to God. Lord, help me. Give me the strength to wait on you. Lord, strengthen me as you give me patience. As the trial come that I have patience. Help me today. Let me be anxious for nothing. I remember those days before I came to God, I used to be like that. What? I wanted it and I didn't want it this morning. I wanted it last night. All night. And you're not giving it to me, I got to go. And then somebody said, pray about it. Nah, I'm going to go ahead and do this right here and mess up everything. Other people involved, I done messed them up too. Because I can't wait on God. I pray. I don't got no time for that right now. I'm trying to get this money, or I'm trying to get this or that, whatever it is. I look like back during them days when I was much, much younger. Let's say even in my childhood and my teenage days, my early 20s. Ooh, look like it just took Christmas too long to come. I love Christmas. Always have. It was a big holiday for me. And guess what? It just took too many months to get back around. 12 more months, 11 more. Ooh, let's have Christmas in now. No Christmas in July. It's my birthday right after my birthday. Let's have Christmas. Because I had no patience to wait. God set things in order. And if we follow the order of God, we will be blessed. Yeah. I'm talking to myself as I'm talking to you this morning. We all need more patience. And if we hold on to James, but let patience have a perfect work day, I'm going to say we may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. This morning, I don't know too much I want other than breakfast. I have some laundry to do, so I'm going to get that done. But other than that, I don't really know too many things I want other than that. Because God has already made me some promises, and he's going to fulfill his promises to me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. He already let me know I'm the head and not the tail. I just can't act like the tail end when I know I'm the head. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. These great and precious promises. I have not because I ask not. And I'm not asking for things that are missed. Well, what I mean by that, I'm asking for things that God will do. I'm not asking for somebody else's husband. I know this woman already talking to this guy, and they going out, and I know they're making plans, but I'm going to come and interrupt the plan. Now, I'm going to pray to my, I want him. What in the foolishness, nonsense, craziness? No. What God have for me is for me. I don't have it because I'm not asking him for it. I don't have him because I'm not prepared for it. See, that's another thing we don't understand about God. If we're not prepared to receive the blessing, he's not giving it. You're going to be just like the prodigal son, squander it and hurt yourself, not God. He had plenty more. Once he gives you a husband, he got plenty more men he can assign as husbands. That's not the last one he got now. Once he gives you a wife, he got plenty more women he can make wives. And you didn't get the last wife from God. Yeah, we want to know this too. Let the trying of our faith work in patience. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, when we don't see, because some of us, we walk by sight. When we don't see no inkling or nothing happening, oh boy, here it comes. We'll go to Madame Ruby, we'll go to Madame Clear, or we'll go anywhere. To the two-headed people or Santa Maria, we'll go anywhere that somebody can give us something that we can feel. Something that's pleasing to our ears. And we messing up big time. Knowing this, he said this. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Because see, you're going to be tempted. When I see that Rolls Royce, if I'm not careful, I'll be tempted. That's my favorite car. I like that old Rolls because it's distinguished. Everybody know what it is. Everybody know, oh, that's just not a normal car or something looking like a Lincoln. Ooh, that's that Rolls Royce. I like a Jaguar, that old Jaguar, because everybody know, ooh, that's that Jag, you see? Hey, that is not nothing looking like a Buick. It looks like a Jag. But knowing this, let the trying of my faith work its patience. I couldn't get a Jag right now. I couldn't get a Rose right now. because I could take that money and bless some families. I'm talking about families. I could a Rolls Royce Pride? Oh, yeah. I could bless some folks. But I count it all joy that when I see the rose and sometime I'm thinking, well, I want it, and if God bless me with it, now, that's temptation. Watch yourself, Barbara. Be careful. Because there's a better deal in heaven than it is on the earth. It's a better situation than a Rolls Royce that'll make me much more happier than any Rolls Royce would have ever made. See, I'm knowing this, that the trying of my faith worketh patience, so I can sit down. I can stand still and know that he is God. And whatever he blessed, I can be a blessing to somebody else. I know this. But patience had to come. I had to learn to have some patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect. Listen what he said. And entire, complete, wanting nothing. That don't mean you're better than nobody else. That simply means you have learned how to wait on God. When you look around, you at peace with yourself. You're not in an uproar. You're not at war with no one else. You've accepted what you are and what you have in God, because any state that you're in, whatever situation you find yourself in, you're content. Why? You're walking by faith and not by sight. He's living in your heart. You have his spirit leading and guiding you. No need to get crazy. No need to get in an uproar. No need to be anxious for anything. Because we can pray and stand still and wait on God until he delivers it. But we have to learn these things. James went on to say it in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We got to have the wisdom of God. And the only way you're going to get his wisdom, you got to ask for it. And what I mean by that is wisdom of what his word says concerning you. Wisdom of what his word says as far as instructions. Wisdom as far as knowing the blessings of God. The things you hear me speak about, I'm the head and not the tail. That's all. That covers a multitude of things. And don't just pinpoint one thing down. I can do all. That word all is a big, big word right there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That covers all. That covers patience. That covers temptation. It covers what I want, what I don't want. It covers being perfect. It covers a whole bunch of stuff. Everything, basically. All. Verse 6 says, but let him ask in faith. Let him ask God, believing. Nothing wavering. Now, I would pray, but he might not do it. Well, if he do it, it'll take him too long. Don't waver. But he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Anybody ever been out there and that boat was rocking? Them waves was hitting it. Anybody ever been on a cruise? I went to the Bahamas on a cruise and that boat was rocking. I had a window in the room where I stayed and that wind was coming and the waves was just hitting the ship or the boat, whatever I was on. It was just tearing it up. Bam! You could hear it. Pow! Bam! Pow! I went to sleep and woke up to the rocking of the boat and the waves hitting it. Yeah. So look, we don't want to be like that. We want to ask, believe in God, and don't waver from the faith. Train yourself that once you ask God for something, you walk away from it. Give it to him. Leave it on the altar and go on. Every morning you hear me say, find someone that you can be a blessing to. Occupy until he come. Work somewhere until he come, unto your vineyard. Because your vineyard, well, it's his, but where you working in the vineyard, just right there. It's on your job. It's with your children. It's with strangers. Your neighbors need you. An old friend across town needs you. Somebody needs you. You was in the Walmart and you saw somebody in need and you was able to help. You was at another different grocery store and somebody was short $2. You paid the $2 difference. Occupy until he come. Work until he come. Bless somebody else until he come. Verse 7 says, but let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. He's wavering. He's doubting. He's been driven to and from and tossed. And when you got to ask all these questions, it's because you don't know what to do because you haven't consulted God. And if you did, you didn't stay there. You didn't give it to him and walk away. You're still trying to deal with it. You're still trying to make it what you want it to be. And that won't work either. You'll fall before that happens. You're not going to have another God before him. You're not going to be the God before him. He made you for his pleasure. He's the God that have all power. He's the one that sent his son, Jesus Christ, to set you free, but you won't stay free. You stay bound up because you're thinking about what other people think. You think about what the world has projected. Are you kidding me? Caring about what they think about me. I know I got Jesus. I'm like Hobby Watkins this morning. Glad I've got Jesus down in my heart. Glad I... And some people say, well, see, she can do all of that because she know when the Lord speak to her and God speak through her and she give people word. No, it ain't got nothing to do with that. It got to do with you. And how do you spend your time and where do you spend your time? How are you seeking God? Do you keep your mind on him? Do you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? Are you delighting yourself in him? Ain't got nothing to do with my gifts. Don't have nothing to do with me. It's between you and God. And again, this morning, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by faith, the elders obtained a good report. By faith, I can tell you this. By faith, I have a good report. By faith, I have good testimonies. Even the ones where I was scared, even the ones where I didn't feel so good going through it. But they good because it taught me. I've learned to pray in and out of season. Anytime, for any reason. Prayer is the key. My faith unlocks the door. I can ask anything and it shall be done. Oh, I feel him. Hear every word I say. And while I'm calling, God's on his way. For prayer will fix it every time. Hallelujah. I felt the Spirit of the Lord moving on that. Because prayer is important. And we must seek God. Diligently seek him. Lean not to our own understanding. And all our ways acknowledge him. He's going to direct your path. But you got to slow down, calm down, focus. Because if you're riding high, no patience, just running and letting your mind just run with you, then guess what? You're not getting nothing but more trouble. You might should be at working in the White House, but you're not there because you couldn't wait. You went to work for the Salvation Army because you couldn't wait. Nothing wrong with the Salvation Army and helping people, But God had a bigger project for you. He was going to use you in the White House to show the president that he's still God. He was going to teach you to show the president to let patience have a perfect word. He was going to show you how to teach the president that when you're falling to divers temptations, what to do. But you couldn't wait. Yeah. You're supposed to have a higher position in this life, but you couldn't have it. You got bits and pieces because you couldn't wait. One of my all-time favorites. And every now and then I have to come back and bring it. And not only for you, but bring it for me too. So don't think all of this is just for you. I'm in on this blessing. Yeah. I'm in on this spiritual part. I need God just like you need him. I haven't arrived yet. All of this is talking to me like it's talking to you this morning. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now this was Psalms 27 and 14. That wasn't Isaiah. Yeah, that wasn't back there. This was David. Wait on the Lord, be of a good courage. What to mean being of a good courage, Barbara, and I'm waiting. I want that car. They taking too long to come back with a result. They say I could get it, but they needed a few more things. And the finance people, some of them was on vacation, and what needs to be done is a special defense. God having you to wait, because when they come back, there will be no payment. Oh, somebody help me this morning, please. God got you waiting because when he gets through, you're not going to be just a worker, but you're going to own a company. God have you waiting and staying right there, because when he get through, you're going to be the district manager. But we can't wait. I got to go. And honey, let me tell you something. When that pride kick in, that's another thing. When that pride kick in, we got to go. I got to show them. What you going to show them? That you don't have no money? What you going to show them? You're going to lose everything you got? Is that what you're showing? Because that's what's going to happen. Because you can't stand still and know that he is God. Verse 7 says, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8 says, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. I'm going back to 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. See, because you're in and out. Oh, maybe he'll do. I might not get it. Well, I've been trying. The last time, I didn't get it. Oh, maybe this time, I'll get it. In a few minutes, no, I ain't going to get it. Double-minded. If anybody ever watched the movie, The Nutty Professor, the daddy said that Oprah was confusing him. She need to get one way. That tickled me too good. So he was confused because Oprah was losing weight, gaining weight. She need to get one way. And so, are the believer. The believer must get one way. And that's the way of faith. Stand on the word of God. Make your flesh behave. You can make it behave for everything else. Make it behave concerning the word of God. And you're going to be blessed beyond your wildest, excuse me, imagination. Hallelujah. You couldn't imagine I couldn't imagine this when I was 30 years old. How blessed I would be when I came to God. I had no imagination that he blessed in this way. I was looking like the world was the American dream. That's what I thought it was. But how many know the American dream is not true? And guess what? My dream of the things of God come to pass. I had no clue he could do what he's done. I had no clue he could do what he's doing and what he's going to do. Hallelujah. But I had to let patience have a perfect work. I had to remember when I fall into diverse temptations. Sometimes people was telling me, that came from God. No, he don't tempt nobody like that. He ain't gonna tempt me to lay with somebody else's husband. The devil is a fool and a liar, and will make a fool and a liar out of you. But you gotta let him. So 9 says, let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Because if we remember, it's that broken heart, it's that contrite spirit, it's that lowliness, it's the poor. This is who God looks upon. And this is who God blesses. See, we think people up high already exalted. You know, those are the people that, you know, God exalted and everybody else is down and they're now low degree. I don't have what the pastor have. I only have one suit to wear to church. I only have one dress. But I'm going in Jesus' name. I'm going to wash that dress and get on over there. I might fix my hair a different way. I might change the color of my eyeshadow, my lipstick. Yeah, just do some lady little thing, but I'm going on. Receive the word of God and apply it. I'm going back out to share the good news of Jesus from what the pastor preached on Sunday. Wednesday night, I went to Bible study. I got the Bible study lesson, so Thursday, I'm going to share it on the job. When I go in the grocery store, I'm going to tell somebody about it because I got to talk of his wondrous works. Hey, glory, and make known his deeds among the people. Amen goes right there. Look, verse 10 says this, but the rich, and that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall fade, he shall pass away. Why? He counting on his money to do what only God can do. He's counting on his money to do only what Almighty God can do. Money will never do it. Money assets all things, but it won't do what God can do. When they said you had terminal cancer, God can turn it around. He can heal your body. He can restore that body like nothing ever happened to it. I had a son to get shot when he was 12. And even then, the bullet went through his right breast and come out. I prayed the prayer of faith. When I looked back, there was a little tiny hole. His left breast. There was a little tiny hole over his heart after the prayer of faith. And while I was praying the prayer of faith, you couldn't hear birds chirping, crickets. I'm to my dead silence. It's like God stopped everything to hear that prayer for that boy. When I opened my eyes, my son, my oldest son, and I'm going to remind him of that today. He looked at me and I looked at him because we saw the big hole over the heart. We saw it. After the prayer of faith, we saw a little tiny hole. And when we got through, here come the rescue and everything. Fire truck, everybody. Cut his clothes off him and took him home in the helicopter. Flight came. They was going to save him that day, and they did. Afterwards, the enemy come and made me so angry. And you know some heathens. When you've been a heathen, you know some. And so, you know that the devil was telling me along with my flesh, you let them have their way with, they're going to find out who did it, and then they let them kill them. Listen to that. Let them kill them. So I was riding down the street talking to the Lord. I wasn't where I am now. I yet had that form of godliness and denied the power thereof. Oh, I would go to church every blue moon. You know, I wasn't no faithful church member. I wasn't faithful unto God. I'm going to be faithful to the church. So look, I went on praying down the road. And I said, Lord, if you heal this boy like he has never been shot, like nothing has ever happened to him, I said, I will not take revenge. Because, see, taking revenge, it could have been twofold. They could have killed me and we could have killed each other. Yeah, you see, I could have been in trouble just like I was coming to bring them some trouble. And when I told the Lord that, it was like he said, okay, I got it. I healed him anyway. When you prayed out there in the yard that day, I healed him. It was like that. 6 days he was home. 6 days he was home doing better than me. Listen to me, y'all. It tickled me right last sometime. He was home and they didn't let him go back to school right away. But he, and the bullet is not in him. The bullet went through his breast. So look, he would come and say, Mama, for dinner, can we have fried chicken, macaroni, cheese, collard greens, cornbread, and can you make banana pudding and make that sweet tea? Southern meal. We from the South. We from the country. So look. Of course, because my child recovering. Whatever he want that I can do, I'm doing it. Okay, now the next day, or either that evening, he'll come. Mama, I say, yeah, for breakfast in the morning, can I have Kellogg corn flakes and peaches and some bacon? Of course you can. I don't want nobody else in the house to fix it. I'm going to get up and cook that bacon myself. I'm going to set the table for you. You want me to bring it to the bed on the tray table? Let me tell y'all something. He was playing me like a piano with the food. I mean, if he wanted a special drink, Mama, can you make that pineapple drink you make with the ice in it? I would take pineapple juice and a little sugar and ice and blend it up, and it would turn like a smoothie. But we didn't know nothing about smoothies back then. No milk or nothing, just the pineapple juice, sugar, and ice, and it would be excellent. I'm making all these specialty drinks and special desserts, and he playing me like a piano. And one day I got to see it. I said, oh, no, you out of gas. I said, he been playing you the whole time. Yeah, but it just, and the reason I didn't get real angry or nothing like that, God was showing me, I told you I would heal him because you said you wouldn't take revenge. The day he got shot, you prayed the prayer of faith. Yeah. So look, if we can be blessed, and I'm going to jump on down to 12 right quick. 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. But when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love them. 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now that's what James said, and I believe it. 14 says, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. See, when they made you mad over there, when your husband upset you in the house or your wife upset you in the house, now you're ready to move. Because you've been enticed by your anger. I don't have to stay here. He's not the only one. Well, where you going? You don't have nowhere else to go. Where you going? And even if you go to somebody else's house, it's not going to be like your own. This man pay bills over him. You have your own bathroom connected to your bedroom, and each one of y'all in the bathroom have your own sink. You like to take a bath. He likes to take a shower. You got a bathtub and a shower. But when you go to these other people's house, because you're running away, because you've been enticed by your own lust, you've been tempted and letting temptation have its way with you. Got to be careful. It says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. One more time. Then when lust have conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Now, I'm not telling you what I said. I'm telling you what God inspired James to write over in James chapter 1 in the 15th verse. James want us to get on the right track. He come back and he said, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's what he said. When we're doing good, it comes from God. I can tell you that. That's that good nature. We was made in his image. And when we do good, we looking like him. But when we let that sinful nature take over, when we let lust conceive, when we're drawn away by our own lust, when we allow temptation to come in and stay too long, I know some things. When you see people doing different than the norm, they've allowed temptation to stay too long. And the world make excuses, you know that. But we really don't have an excuse because we got our Father. We got Almighty God Jehovah that have all power. We got his Son, Jesus Christ, that set us free. And whom the Son set free is free indeed. But when we stay in our tempted state too long, we'll mess up. Then in a minute, you're thinking you're right when you're wrong and you're justifying it and you want the world to see it now. There was a time when we didn't want the world to see our flaws, but today, let them see it. Let them see I'm queer and messed up. And somebody going to come along and say I'm right and it's not mental health. Because we stayed in the tempted state too long. That's like me. When the enemy showed me a man, look at him. He's 6'4". And look how cut he is. All you got to do is walk over there. He done looked your way two or three. No. I put a stop to it right then. Hey, all you got to do is go back and talk to somebody out your past. And now they older than you. They going to be down for the car. Nope. You got to put a stop to it. You can't let the thoughts run. You can't let temptation run your mind too long. Because if you do, you're going to find yourself doing it. If you let lust come in and run too long, when you've known a thing, you done did what lust brought. Yeah. But James says, count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Because see, what happened is this. It's going to teach you to wait. And it's going to teach you, stop that mind from running like that. Because if you keep thinking on this thing, you're going to do it. And even thinking on wrong, it's a thought. A thought is a thing. God is going to hold us accountable for our thoughts. This is why when you hear me repent, you hear me say, forgive me for my wrongdoings, my wrong thoughts, my wrong speakings, my wrong feelings. We are going to be held accountable. And believe it or not, this is not what I had prepared for this morning when he told me the biggest inside job. I had planned to go another way with another scripture. But this is him, his doing this morning. I prayed for this because I didn't know which way to go. He's leading and guiding. I can't take the credit for what God is doing right now. Anybody ever heard warning comes before destruction? God is warning all of us. Because he don't want us to be destroyed. Because that devil coming with some stuff. And he's going to tempt. And if we haven't been practicing perfect practice to not fall into temptation. If we haven't been working on knowing that the trying of our faith worketh patience, it's not too late. Let patience have a perfect work that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. All of this. If any man like wisdom, let him ask to God. That's a big thing right there. That's a big ticket item. Lord, give me understanding, give me knowledge, and give me wisdom. Teach me, O Lord, how to walk in your way. Lord, I've been through some things. And because of what I've been through, it caused me not to do this and not to do that. I don't have no kind of trust, even for you. Temporarily, it comes. But I don't have long-term trust for you, God. Teach me. If any man like wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men, liberally, freely, and upbraideth not. He won't take it back. And it shall be given him. You got to ask. You have not because you ask. You got to get sincere when you go to God. You know how when you want that house on the hill with the dog named Fluffy, how sincere you was in your prayer to God about that house? This is how you got to go about to him for wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. This is how you got to go to God and ask him to teach you how not to fall into divers temptations, how to have patience and let patience have a perfect work and strengthen me as patience is having her way in me because the trial's coming to give you patience. Let me tell y'all something. Remember I told you I didn't have no patience for all of that now. Look here, I'm moving. And I need this thing. I want to move and come on. When I went to prison, guess what? Oh, boy, did I have patience. Because I could call somebody, but they weren't going to move that day. It wasn't going to get to me that day. I had to wait till the mail come. And I was in Ocala, and the mail was coming from Jacksonville. Or the mail was coming from where Mount St. Helens erupted at, up that way. Or Pensacola, Florida, or wherever it was coming through. I had to wait until it got there. I could go, and everything you needed, you had to put a request in for. I could go and request this, that, and the other, but I had to wait until the person answered the request. I had to wait till the law library answered the request. Wait until the chaplain answered the request. Wait until the major, the sergeant, the lieutenant answer the request. Wait until the nurse answer the request, the doctor, the dentist, whatever I needed. I had to wait. And boy, did that help me. Because after so long, you learn. One thing about it, the human being, they can adjust. They can adapt. Yeah. So I learned to have patience. I come home, my brother, had a new car and he wanted to go to the doctor and he used to let me drive all the time. Because he thought me driving, I had a sound mind and he didn't. And so I drove him to the doctor. He went in, and one time he went in and stayed in there 2 hours. But everywhere I went, I would have my Bible. And so I would open my Bible and begin to read and learn, you know, pray. And guess what? When he came out, he said, ooh-wee. He said, you have some patience. He got a nickname for me. He called me. He called me by that nickname and said, ooh-wee, you got some patience. I said, yeah, God is good. And where your sister just come from, it teach you to have patience. And we both laughed and went on. But patience, it's got to have its perfect work. You got to let patience come in and let it become your best friend. I thank God for patience. I thank God for him teaching us to have patience. Yeah. I promise you, I was coming from another scripture because when I said the biggest inside job was done in my heart, I was going to go to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20. But if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. I was going to go there in some other scriptures. But this is the way he's moving this morning. And I have no control over that. And I don't want to. Yeah, I want to let him have his way. Yeah, he talked about the rich man. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass, he shall pass away. He went on to verse 11 and said, for the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Look, this heat becomes so hot, the flower lose its fashion, the way of shape, the color of it. It was so beautiful at once, but that sun got it, the heat got it. It perished and fall away. And you know, the grace of the fashion of it is just beautiful. I love roses, poinsettias. Oh, they're beautiful to me. Carnations, all type of flowers, daisies. And the shape and the grace of these things that God made, God created, it's just beautiful. These things can grow out the dirt. Some of these flowers smell so good and just wonderful. But he said, for the son, the rich man was going to be like this. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but it withereth the grass and the flowers thereof falling, and the grace of the fashion of it perishes. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Because guess what? God loves the cheerful giver. And to be rich, you can't be giving all this stuff away. You're more in tune to bringing in money than putting money out. So you can do some traumatizing things because you want to stay in position. You want to stay rich. Murder might come up. Rape, molestation, anything. Stealing, cheating, deceiving. All kind of stuff. This is why he will fade away in his ways. I done heard it. I done said it. And Lord, I repent this morning. Forgive me, oh God. I wanted to be rich. You see, the devil will make a fool out you if you let him. Now, I don't need to be rich. I just need God to supply the need. Because I don't want to get into all this kind of thing and let money become my God and, I'm willing to kill somebody. Oh, no, I'm willing to deceive somebody. I'm willing to lie, cheat, and steal. Oh, no. I don't want no part of that. That's what the people did to go to hell. I don't have nothing in hell I want. I don't have time. Yeah, I'm running a clean race. I'm striving to be holy because he's holy. Yeah, I'm not striving to be rich. Verse 12 says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. But when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. See, because if we love him, we're going to keep his commandments. If we love him, we're going to walk upright before him. If we love him, we're going to obey his word. If we love him, we're going to do what's pleasing and acceptable unto him. Thank you, Jesus. 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. 14 says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. 15 says, then when lust has conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. 18 says, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. 19 says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. That's what I'm working on. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Yet when I used to get angry, because it don't come like that no more, I used to get uncontrollable. I would be so mad I could have ended up hurting, really killing somebody or hurting somebody. And that wrath was not the righteousness of God. I had a lady I was working with, and I had to show that to her. Oh, boy, this woman would go off. Oh, boy. And I just saw zoom, zoom, mental health, zoom, zoom, zoom. But I talked to her, prayed the prayer of faith. The day she told me, Barbara, that thing try to come back, I won't let it. I've seen it. I've seen her try to go there. But she battled that thing in the spirit and come right back to herself. Yeah. Because that thing will have us out there. And that's not God clowning and cussing and wanting to fight. And that's not God. Live peaceably with all men. Solomon said this. A soft answer turneth away wrath. I don't care how much they get upset. If you keep a nice, smooth tone, soft, don't raise your voice. In a minute, they'll go on, because it take a fool to clown by themselves. You steady cussing and acting a fool, and I'm constantly, because that spirit want to provoke me too and see if it can get me as angry. And I clown. Verse 21 says, wherefore lay upon all filthiness, the superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Now, that's what James teaching us. Lay upon all filthiness, cussing, put that filthy communication out of your heart and your mouth. All the evil, deceiving people, cheating people, filthiness. That's filthy. The laying up, not married, doing all kind of things with your body. And superfluity and naughtiness. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Put away the porn. Put it away. And why would I want to watch somebody else? If it was, I would make my own porn. I can't be watching other people. Yeah. I don't like women. Not in that way. And I'm not watching no porn to see, no. I may as well be gay. Nope. I'm not doing it. And he said to lay it apart. Put it away. Stop it. He told us if you like wisdom, if you don't know how, ask of God, who give liberally and upbraideth not. Now that's what he said. Anything we need, we can get it from God. But we got to be willing to do it. Willing to seek him to get it. Willing to go the last mile of the way to gain it. Hallelujah. Ah, yeah. 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. In other words, don't just be a knower of the word. Hear it and know it. But you don't do what the word says. You're deceiving your own self. We got men that go to church all the time, every Sunday, every Wednesday. They hear the word, and if you quote it back to them, they can repeat it. But living it, they can't do it. Somebody can't do it because they're living with a man that they're not married to. They're living with a woman that they're not married to. Somebody can't do it because they're still lying and cheating. But they hear the word, they go to church. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. They will honor God with their lips, but their heart be far from it. He needs your lips and your heart to line up together. 23 says, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I could put the mirror up right now and I see me. But when I walk away from the mirror, I done forgot. Just that quick. Now I feel it. And it's not because of old age. This is for everybody. This is for the six-year-old child. If he look in the mirror, he'll see himself. But when he walk away from that mirror, he forget. When we in the word, we remembering. When we walk away, we forget. Folks go to Bible study. And after Bible study, they go do whatever it is they big enough to do. Forgot what we call Bible study. 25 says, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That means man or woman. You don't forget. You do the work of God. See, I don't forget what he said about the widows. The church has. And if you're not a member of that church, they're not going to give you nothing. Forget that. What? You're not paying no tithes and offering over there? And you think they're going to come and cut your grass and send somebody over there to clean your house? You're in old age. You got another thought coming, Sugarfoot. That's not what they're about today. It's like you help me, I help you, and that's not God. He said the poor would always be among us. And that's not how he rolled. So if I'm going to do unto you as you do unto me, that don't make no sense. Not with God. Mm-mm. But that's what the church and I do. And see, this is why we know it's not called the house of prayer. Because that's not what it is. It's their house. That's how they could tell you what to do in their house. But you pay your money over there. You know, you fuck up the tithe and offering and the sacrifices, and pastor wants this, and pastor, and see, let me tell you about people. When people know that you'll give them something, you'll cook them, they'll worry you to death. They'll put you on that auxiliary, put you on that ministry to make sure they're getting what they want. That's not God. That's man. Yeah. And see, I'm a different breed. If you're telling the truth, I don't care who you are, pastor, bishop, senior bishop. If you're telling the truth, I'm with you when you're right. But when you go to putting you in it and lies, I gotta let you know I don't agree with that. And then I'm gonna have a word to back me up. I'm gonna pray before I come, so I have the word and God to back me up. Can't take foolishness, nonsense. When it comes to the things of God, He'll bring us out every time. We just have to want to give up things. The man said, you got a habit. You've been praying about it. God didn't move it. That's because He gave you the ability to give it up. Ah, oh, yeah, I'm thankful today unto Him. And I learned this. See, some things you can't tell everybody because they won't get it. Some things are not unto death, not even unto sin. Yeah. If I drink a beer right now, some people have a heart attack. Oh, that's them church folks. That's them kind that got the form of godliness and deny the power there. That's them same people that honor God with their lips. Because, see, they don't know what the word says. Drink wherein is not excess. It's not what go in the man that defile him, but it's what come out. I drink a beer, I'm going to pass it away. It's coming out. It won't stay in there. But that dirty cussing, that come out your heart, that's in there. Them evil thoughts and doing people wrong and thinking of ways to manipulate people, that's coming from your heart. But you got a problem with a beer. You got a problem with a glass of wine. What? You can even have the kibasier, what we call it, the Hennessy. You can have a strong drink, but guess what? You can't get drunk. Drink wherein is not excess. Be of a sober mind. But if they see you take a sip, they're going to hold all of this against you. They don't know what the scripture says. They judging. But He said in His word, judge not, lest you're going to be judged by the same measure you're judging these people, whomever they were. Oh, yeah, God is faithful. And I'm thankful unto Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So, look, we're going to finish up. He said, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continue therein, he being a forgetful, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, not the word, but the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. God loves a cheerful giver. And when we obey the word and we working unto Him, we're going to be blessed in our deeds. We're looking in the word to see what God said to do and what God says not to do. That's that perfect law of liberty, the perfect law of freedom, the word of God. It'll set any man free, any woman free, any problem free, any situation. Nothing is bigger than the word of God. But God, of course. 26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious, and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man religion is in vain. Anybody ever seen people just talking? And they talking about their religion. But see, you don't understand. I'm a Baptist, and I'm going to die Baptist. All this old stuff. You can't get a word in edgewise. It used to be a man called me like that. I don't know what he was calling me for. But he used to call me and just talk, and then, you know what, this, I would be like, someday, Lord, can you let him get on off the phone with me? I don't want to hang it up and be rude, but that's some foolishness. He's not led by the Spirit. He led by himself, and he's being deceived. And then a few minutes said, well, sister, I got to go. Thank you, Jesus. It says, bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart. This man, religion is in vain, because that's all he got. He don't have relationship. He got religion. 27 says, and we're going to end it after this. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless and widows in affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Anybody heard that? Pure religion now. So in other words, you can have religion. But it needs to be pure. Because it's going to cause you to obey God. And it's going to cause the world to see what's in you and going to cause you to stay out of the world. Stay out of sinful things. Stay from doing wrongdoings. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. To visit the fatherless. How many deacons and pastors go see about children in foster care? Have a place at the church where they can place children that they had to remove from violent or abusive homes, been sexually assaulted and all kind of stuff. What church have that set up in place? They let the state do it. They let the government do it. No church. And look what he said. To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. You know, once a woman husband dies, she don't have the same thing. He was cutting the grass. He was taking the garbage out. When the sink pipe under the sink broke, he was the one coming and replaced it. He painted the house. He trimmed the trim outside on the windows. He went to work and paid the bills. She kept the house. She kept his children straight. When anything went wrong at the school, she went to the school. He was at work. When the child got sick, she took care of the child. He had to get up the next day and go to work. He went in and checked on the baby and told the baby, Daddy, love you. And Daddy got to go to work, but Mama going to be here with you. Huh? So when this man left, she became kind of crippled, kind of handicapped. What church have it set up for the widows in their afflictions? What church have that? They too busy getting a salary. They too busy making the building look better so more people can come, but they're not obeying God. It says to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. This is pure religion undefiled before God. Pastors, deacons, all these bishops, all these people, apostles, prophets. This is what the word says. This is what prompted me to go see about children. This is what prompted me to see about widows. This is what prompted me to see about the sick, the homeless. This is what prompted me to go over to the homeless shelter and serve. This is what prompted me to go to the hospital and sit in the chapel and pray for the administration of the hospital and those that was in there sick. Go to the jail. I couldn't get in there for everybody. Sit on the bench outside, pray for the administration of the jail and those that was locked up in the jail. Pure religion undefiled before God and the Father. Oh, yeah. But we don't want to do this. What church have these things set up? For the sick. See, if you're led by the Spirit, nobody coming over there and get no money from you and go buy no crack. And nobody coming over there and get liquor money from your church. Because God is the supplier over there. And you asking God, Lord, I want to obey your word. I want to obey James chapter 1, verse 27. But I need discernment, God. And I need you to lead and guide me. So that everything we put out, because we're cheerful givers, you're going to return it 100-fold. Who's doing that? What church does that? I know if I had a minister, all of this would be set up. Chairs and chandeliers and some carpet, we'll be in a warehouse. We'll be in a warehouse with upfront carpet and carpet down the aisle. So if anybody fell, they wouldn't get hurt. But all that fanciness, no, and we'll probably have indoor-outdoor carpet. And some chairs, and then we might would have some chairs that for the elderly, you know, because they can't walk or whatever. We'll have chairs for them, but you'll come in limping, but you'll go out walking. He gave me ministry, and they call it deliverance ministry. But I can speak the word if you believe it's done. I don't have to lay hands, sling no oil, no water, nothing. Speak the word you believe is done. There was a brother in Orlando. I was over at the homeless shelter. We called it the Coalition. And I was staying there. And I went to them about having Bible study. They said, well, we got a church that come in on Thursday night, but you can get with them and see if y'all can join in. I didn't want to join in with them. I wanted my own with the name that God gave me, because I didn't want these crooks taking credit for what God was doing through my ministry. But that's not the way he did it. He let it went on. But this was the difference, to do the Bible study, and they showed up. So I let them have their way. The deacon led off in the hymns, you know. When it was all said and done, in my turn to get up, there was this one brother there, and I called him out. And well, God had me to call him, not me, because, you know, I ain't got no power like that. And anything like that, God have to do it. I'm just a vessel he can use. So when the brother come out and God began to talk to him about a job and told him that he had applied for unemployment and the check was in the mail, he hit the floor, concrete floor on his knees. That reminded me of that. I'm talking about, and he didn't have no control. He wanted to say something, but he couldn't. And he just fell down and went to repenting. Fell down and went to thanking God. Well, they went back and told the pastor. And when he met me, he didn't like it. And he said he didn't want nobody else coming in. And they had given him the liberty to do Bible study. But it wasn't for everybody. It was for that one man. And that particular night when I was speaking, lots of people came, because all through the day, all through the week, after I got off work, you know, I was ministering. I was praying for folks, you know, giving folks the word and this what this means, you know. And so people got to know me, and they got to see God was real. And so when I left, they left the Bible study. Not that I wanted them to do it, but you know how people do. If God ain't in it, I don't want none of it. Yeah, and I am with them when they're right. So look. I don't know what I would title that message this morning. God would have to give it to me. So I'm going to leave it right where it is. Yeah. Inside job. I'm going to leave it right there. Because I believe God has done an inside job on every believer. Matter of fact, I know he has. He came in and cleaned our heart, gave us a clean heart, and renewed the right spirit within us. Yeah. So he did an inside job. And it wasn't a criminal job. It wasn't. See, all inside jobs are not criminal inclined, I think they call it. But we know, we hear about the inside job. Somebody at the bank told somebody how the things go and how to come and rob the bank. The owner of a business hooked up with some people and told them, come rob my business. And after you get away, then I call the police. That's an inside job. But God is doing some inside jobs and has done some out inside jobs, and we'll do some more inside jobs as we yield to him. When we yield to him, he do great and mighty things. When we humble ourselves before him, become his children, become weak before him, he will bless us. God is faithful. I'm telling you, I was going another way this morning. I was not coming this way. But this is what he had me to bring, and I accept what he allowed. I'm better off anyway. Hallelujah. Good morning to you, Sister Dorothy Goodman, and good morning to you, Sister Irene. And I think she was down a day or so. But look like Irene haven't been down. She's been going. Yeah. And I know she's determined, yeah, to get this situation over. And it's passing. 5 days, she said, and it's passed. And so she's doing a lot better. But I try to get her not to rush too quick. And I lay down and sleep when you can and rest up. Yeah. Go get you some sunshine outside, because it may still be summer over there in Australia. And get you some sunshine and things, and eat good and drink fluids, and it'll be all right. Good morning to you, Sion. God bless you this morning. And good morning, Brother Anthony. God bless you this morning. And Sister Mary Ann. And I'm going to get that list back. I'm going to get my list back together. I stopped announcing my list, but I'm going to get it back together so I can say good morning to everybody, because I know people still come. Yeah. And so I'm grateful. Brother Gilmore, Justin Gilmore, God bless your son. Thank God for you. And I know he's preaching, young man, preaching and doing what God would have him to do. And I thank God for him and his mindset to stay with God. He don't want to let nothing separate him from the love of God. Yeah, Pastor David, and just want to be able to say good morning to everybody. Hallelujah. That faithful few. Lashia, God bless you this morning. And hadn't said that in a long time. And Sister Diane back, and we in touch over on Facebook. She was riding a cart through Walmart. And I asked if she had a good driving license to be driving a cart to Walmart. Like I said, she said, yes, I got a good driving license to drive. I said, thank you. Yeah. So just a little humor, you know. And so I'm thankful unto the Lord, and I appreciate all he has done for us, great and mighty things. I went around changing everything, my credit cards and everything. I got hacked on Tuesday, I think that was. And so I tried to fix all that I can, changing passwords and doing what I can, because I believe from that first hack, they was charging something on my credit card. I'm paying the bill and it's getting less. I'm like, what is this? But the same payment was rolling around every month. So we put a stop to that. And then one company saw it and gave me my $29 right back. So I was thankful. You know, put it back on the card, because I try to pay them off. And I'm not always able to pay them off every month. So the more I pay, I'm looking for it to stay right there, because I'm not using them. And I'm building to pay these cars off. Yeah, God is good to us. And so we thank him this morning. Listen, we are going to one more song of the morning. And when we come back, the studio is open. And if you have something you would like to say, please feel free to press that number one and come in. Yeah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We are thankful unto him. I see something right here, and I can't remember. Why would I just put that on there? But we're moving on. Let's go to this one. I always have a request. Ever since I posted this one, to play this song.
I say Whatever I do, I'll get it right. With no regret, no guilt or shame this time. No, not this time. Once I surrender, I won't dare look back. 'Cause if I do, I'll get off track. Move ahead in faith and patiently await your answer. What will it be?
Sight beyond what I see. You know what's best for me. Prepare my mind, prepare my heart for whatever comes. I'm gonna be ready, strength to pass any.
Come my way, I'm going to be ready to stay with God. I'm going to be ready to continue to prepare for his return, because he's coming back and he's looking for the church without spot or wrinkle. And so I'm so grateful unto him this morning, and I can't help but thank him over and over and over and over again, because he's been so good to us. Yeah. Bring us here each morning, each weekday morning, 7 a.m. through 10. And sometimes we get out early, but nonetheless, God brought us and he blessed us with a word for the day. And we get in his word and we want to stay there. I close the chat room because no one come through the chat. And I don't have to manage it as much as Brother Louis did, but I just shut it down today and decided to just let it go. Because there won't be another one like Brother Louis. There won't be another one who managed that chat room like that. And so I closed it down today, shut it, you know. And we just stay in the studio and see what's going on. And God is faithful. And we thank him. And I was going to make an announcement. Oh, the veterans. I have some hoodies coming. And I want to give these hoodies to a veteran that's serving, a vet that's serving today. And I just got a veteran hoodie this time, but I want to get Army, Navy, Marine, Coast Guard, whatever branch of our military, you know, they are in, and praying, and the Lord going to open a door and bless me. What a way of making sure I get the right ones. Because right up the street from me is NAS Jacks. Yeah, the Navy, right up the street. And so I'm sure I could go there and, you know, talk to the chaplain. And I'm sure the chaplain down there would help me to make sure these men get a hoodie. He might want one himself if it's a male chaplain, you know. And so we just have to see how the Lord moves. And that may open a door that I can give away more. You know, I got a spot to give him away, and he could connect me to the Army. He could connect me to the Coast Guard, whoever, you know, so that every branch, someone in every branch, different ones, you know, earning a good hoodie. Yeah, these are very nice hoodies. I got them on sale. And they have caps and flags and all kind of stuff. And so I even joined their group, and I'm waiting to see if they're approving. Now, they may not, you know, but if they approve me, then I'll, you know, be able to talk to them, you know, veterans over there. And I favor vets, I tell you, because they went to do what we couldn't. My oldest son, Lonnie, he was in the Army and went to college and, you know, got a nursing degree. And so I thank God for that. But I knew he would. I knew he was. I could see it in his walk. I could see it. And I said, oh, he a military person. But I didn't think he would pursue that. I thought he was going to go to college, because we had a city council back in the day, Jack Diamond. And Jack said, when they get ready to go to college, you contact me, and I'll be able to help you to get him, you know, get each one of your children, in other words, into college. But he, at the end of graduation, he come and talk to me. Shantae. Okay. He came and talked to me, and then he brought Master Chief to the house. And Master Chief kind of summed it up for me. He told me, he said, but what he really want, he won't get this in college. He won't get this kind of experience. So he was on the Adria team and the commander of the Beast, something like that. But anyway, he talked me into it. They invited me out to dinner. I went, and I was so disappointed, though, because I didn't want him to go in the military, because if a war break out and he... What if he get blown up? Yeah, I'm just thinking crazy. But God had it all in control. And the reason the Lord was allowing it was a special reason. He knew what would take place and what would happen and all this stuff. So he blessed me real good, and I went on and, you know, let it go and everything. And so God is just good. Sometimes we have to let it go, let God be good, God. And that was during these days when I had that form of godliness and was denying the power thereof. I was telling the Lord yesterday, saying that, Lord, you did this and that back in the day. And I didn't even have sense enough to trust you. Lord, if I had trust you, and if I had really just come up in my faith, I would have been so blessed. But I didn't. Because during that time, I didn't understand. And I didn't understand patience. To really wait on the Lord, you know. I thought, you know, praying, you get it right now. You ain't get it right now. Well, he didn't hear that. So I got to move. Yeah, but that wasn't the way that it was. And I thank God for his teaching. I come on up, and he has taught me over the years, trial and error and waiting on him and praying. I learned how to pray this. Lord, if you're not in this, don't let me do it. If this not you moving me, don't let me move, Lord. Yeah, because I'm messing up. Because I learned I wasn't moving in him, I was moving in me. Hallelujah. So we, again, over and over and over, we thank him this morning. We give God glory. We give him the honor and the praise. And thanking him in advance for what he's doing this weekend for us. I believe God is going to move in a mighty way this weekend. And Florida is nice and warm right now. And as the weekend progresses, you know, a nice sunny day, people go out and to the flea market, and somebody may walk the beach, you know, they do different, go fishing, all kinds of things. And so it's that kind of weather because we're coming into spring. And so I want to get out myself this weekend and enjoy, because I think we're going to have a day cold next week. May not be many, but a few, you know, cooler days. I don't like the cold. I like heat. I like warm. Yeah. And so I'm thankful. So I shared about the military hoodie. I'm trying to think if that was something else. If it was, I should have written it down. Yeah, that's what I... When I tell you it just went out... And now it's come back. I had to dial back in all over again. Yeah. But I was sharing. I just had no clue in my younger years how good God was. And we're thankful unto him for all he has done, what he's doing right now. I never would have known I was out except for Sion sent me a message and said she don't hear nothing. And I'm like, what? And then I seen it come up and asked me to dismiss it or keep it going. And so I touched it, keep it, stay logged in. And then it just, I heard the phone go. I said, oh, we out of there. Yeah. Let me try to get back right quick. Thank you, Sister Irene. God bless you. And I think Sister Dot wrote me too. Yeah, sound is back. Thank you, Sister Dot. And look, let me tell you, it's an awesome team. Sister Dot and Sister Irene, God bless y'all ladies. I thank God for the both of you so much because y'all help me so much. And because many days I don't get to post a prayer on the prayer club or the prayer request club, and y'all always come through. And over on the prayer request club, that's Sister Dot, baby. I would like to post more prayers over there and, you know, see what, you know, people need prayer for. And, you know, when they see more prayers being posted, more people come most likely and request prayer. Yeah, it's a public group, prayer request club, and I wanted to make it private, but if I do, I wouldn't have as many people. So I leave it like it is, and I let God provide. And, some days I do a few things to see about encouraging others and see if they want to be a part. But for the most part, God adds daily such as should be. Hallelujah. To the prayer club, the prayer request club. And we thank him. Jesus in the morning, we thank him. In some places we have over 500 members. Yeah. And active. They're not all, you know, doing this and that, but they look every day to see if a prayer going to be there. Yeah. Hallelujah. So we are thankful unto him. We give him glory. We give him honor and praise. So look, if no one else have anything they would like to say, I'm done for the morning. And we will sign out and pray the Lord bring us back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I ask someone to come as our guest, but I'm waiting on an answer from him and for Friday, and we'll see. We'll see how God moves. All right. Oh, okay, Brother Anthony. All right, good morning, sir. God bless you. How are you?
Bless, Holly Favor, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah, we hear you.
Bless, Holly Favor. Just thank God for waking me up this morning. Thank God for life, health, strength, keeping my right mind. Allowing me to see another day. Thank God for that deal of my land. And I just thank God for who he is to me, what he's doing in me, where he's brought me from, and where he's taking me at. And, you know, just blessed to be here another day. And I want to say thank you, Ms. Barbara, for the birthday wishes and Sister Dot, and for the birthday song as well. And I hadn't got up here since when y'all did it. Well, I was tuning in and, you know, just got a lot going on, you know, back home, you know, a couple family members and family passing on, you know, with my cousin and his mama, and then one of my other cousins, his grandmother passed away. So, you know, kind of being, you know, talking to them a little bit. So they've been calling me and, you know, just talking to me. So I try to, you know, give them positive words and, you know, keep them to stay focused and everything. But just blessed again to be here this morning. And I was just listening to the testimonies the other day, and especially one, day before yesterday about the rap, the one, he was a rapper.
Yeah.
And, how he said he sold his soul basically for the rap and everything. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just thinking about what he was saying, you know, concerning, you know, everything that he went through, and, just, you know, me growing up and listening to rap music and stuff, you know, and some of the music that I listen to, you know, a lot of it, you know, I kind of recited what they were saying, you know, to a certain extent. And then, you know, sometimes you can listen to some music and you don't really know the song, but you just kind of going by what they're saying. And, you know, that's, and it made me really think, you know, and that shed some light on me, you know, so we singing the verses or the hooks or what they're saying to the song, and we not knowing, you know, we could be speaking curses. You know, not only on ourselves, but on others, you know. And, you know, I was just thinking about how he was saying, you know, that, you know, in that, you know, those chants and everything that they were saying in the choruses and everything, you know, and all the different concerts that have went on, you know, and here recently, well, you know, people got killed and, you know, and stuff that they doing now, you know, even in with the Grammys and all that stuff. So, you know, this guy just kind of opened my eyes a little bit more. And I try to, you know, I could be around some people and they be playing music, but, you know, my ears ain't tuned in how it used to be, you know, when I was, you know, in the world, you know. Now, you know, music be playing and I basically, tune it out, you know, it could be playing, but I ain't listening to the words, it's just playing, you know, and then my mind ain't focused on it how it used to be, you know, back in the day, but it just let me know, you know, how cunning and slick the enemy is, and, you know, how he was saying how, you know, he was, the devil told him, or that demon told him that, you know, once he get in, he can't get out, you know, and the use of the drugs and all that. And, you know, it made me think, too, you know, just knowing what's going on in the world today and, you know, things that happened in the past and now currently, you know, with the generation of children, you know what I'm saying? And we see now, you know, it was bad back then, you know, shooting and killing and stuff. But now it's to the point where, you know, they die and shooting, killing people by the hour, by the minutes, basically. You might as well say, you know, yes, this, you know. And, you know, I was looking at kind of like a documentary about Chicago and, you know, the gangs out there and everything. And, you know, a lot of those boys, they rappers, you know what I'm saying? They were rapping and, you know, they, you know, it just made me, you know, made my heart drop, you know, because these young boys, they, you know, 13 and up, you know, and it's younger than that. Some places, you know, as far as children that a gang affiliate or there's rapping and stuff like that, you know, and how they just sexually killing each other, you know what I'm saying? Like, just because of some words somebody say, you know what I'm saying? You know, I know back in the day you used to have things, you say, he just told my paper bones, but words have never hurt me, you know, and so that's not what's going on these days, because these guys are saying things and talking about all this stuff to one another, and, you know, they feeling some type of way concerning that, and they go out there and they shoot and kill others, taking, you know, people's loved ones away, you know, potentially, you know, they're not even thinking about it. And I could just think, you know, just listening to those, the different testimonies that you played, Miss Marvel, and how, you know, what happens when they go to meet the maker, you know, or they go, and when they leave here, and they go, they stand before God, and God, you know, just showing them, like, hey, you know, look what you did, you know what I'm saying? This is where you're going at, you know, and, you know, even I was just thinking about the young guy that was bodybuilder, the amateur bodybuilder, and so he had got the different weights and everything, and he was saying that and how they figured it, and they went to Dairy Queen and get something to eat, and so he died and passed away, you know, and died for about an hour, and then he came back. So I just made me think about all that, you know what I'm saying, and how I put, you know, those young guys that's out here killing each other with rap, and then that concept of, you know, them dying and going to heaven, and so what can you say? Can't say that. Killing people and, you know, just taking lives with that, you know, and that music, so I get it. So now I really get it there, you know what I'm saying? And I can see how much the music affects the culture now for the younger generation and the children growing up. And basically everyone, you know what I'm saying? It's just that spirit, that demonic spirit is out there, and it's taking hold of these children, and they're not knowing. So they just said, you know, as a believer, as a Christian, that I need to continue to pray, not only for my church, but others, you know, so that us as believers would get together and continue to pray for generation to generation to come, because, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And I was just thinking about my cousin, my grandma, and she was saying how back in North Carolina, you know, the ministry that I was going to say in North Carolina, with a pastor was praying for, you know, more people to come to the church, for it's like to give their life, you know what I'm saying, to come to God. And she was saying how now, you know, it's a large number of the younger troops, you know, just, you know, giving their life to God. She's saying how, you know, that she's been going to church still lately, you know, how it was being cool, and the majority of the congregation is all the youth. Younger to change, you know, back there, it, you know, back that way, you know, they had an epidemic with that fixing and all, and that heroin, you know, people just passing away and doing it, you know, and so it just has been spread, you know, for fatalities within the last 5 to 6 years got very serious, so well, so in, I would say around 2010, in that time frame, but so she heard about it, but it was very isolated for the death toll for that type of thing. So, well, now, you know, it's basically just like random killing, you know. So, show me, you know, that gotta see the praise, see, you know, that it got for families and just people, just days, you know, that, you know, that we just need the right, as well as prayer for the other, need the right. God, and knowing the truth. So even if we fall short, and how that God is still with us, He has a look. I can my mind and hold on to this, knowing no matter what I do, I mess up. So the enemy comes and tries to get me to doubt. I won't doubt and die not with me, but I know He's with me. It's just blessed. I'm just blessed to be here for 42 years and in good health. But when God got me, I'm faithful. A lot of people, friends that I grew up with, they no longer here. I'm just blessed, and I ain't being selfish, but I'm just saying to be so that I thank God for Him drawing me closer to Him. And I even think about my the end of this time, I celebrate His birthday, and He passed away last year, and in the twinkle of an eye, He was gone.
Minister Shonda, I'm coming at you right now. Good morning. God bless you. How are you?
I'm doing good. God bless you. God bless the listeners. How are you?
Wait a minute. Say that again, Minister Shonda.
I said, God bless you. God bless the listeners. And how are you?
I am blessed. Can't complain.
Well, I decided to call in this morning. It's been a while. But I heard Brother Anthony, so I said, well, it sounds like they're testifying right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to testify. So I just love God, thankful for him. I just want to share something marvelous. So as I had told you, Sister Barbara, I had got a promotion on my job, and with that promotion came a whole lot of money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you, just because you make a whole lot of money, sometimes stress can come with it. So 2 weeks, the job was easy, easier than my old job, even with a promotion, but they changed how we do the work. It was, you know, stressful. I just felt like it was taking time from God. And I thought about that one day. I was like, I really ain't, you know, putting in time or, you know, having time with the Lord, you know, because this job, I'm working sometimes at 8:42, 9:42, 10 o'clock at night. And I'm getting on the clock at 8 sometimes. Every schedule was 9:30 to 6. Now, the money, the checks was looking good. And I mean, they were big checks. But as I sit here now, I was like, well, what to spend it on? I mean, I did get a new vehicle. But, you know, I really can't see where all that money that was coming in late, you know, besides just having extra money. So one day I went to my desk, Sister Barb, and I sat there, and I looked at an email that I had, and it was from somebody saying that an attorney was furious, and then I looked at another claim, and I know I wasn't supposed to do this, but I resigned, effective immediately.
Okay.
And when I'm telling you, it felt like a burden just came off me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, when I told my husband, he was like, you don't do that. You have a job. You're supposed to have a job lined up before you leave a job. And I said, you're right. I talked to my pastor. He said, well, you know, as I didn't consult my husband, he said, well, just ask God for forgiveness. But let me tell you the beautiful thing. I got, not only did I feel like a burden was off me, I got to talking to God, and I told him, you know, that I was wrong for what I did, for not consulting my spouse, and I asked for forgiveness. But I told William, and I had talked to the Lord, of course, I said, because he was like, girl, we got bills to pay. Now this was back on February 15th, right? So we in March now. I said, I'm going to have a job by this Friday. He was like, you ain't going to have no job, you know. We're going to lose everything. I said, well, I'm not worried. I know I'm going to, did I say this Friday or next Friday? Oh, I said by next Friday. That's what I said. And I got to talking to the Lord. I felt I had a peace. And you know, the peace that the Bible talks about that says transcends all understanding, that was the peace that I had. Like, I had a certainty that everything was going to be all right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to talking to the Lord, and I said, well, let me ask you something, because, you know, I had been wanting to drive a school bus, right? And I called up the people, and see, here, school bus drivers get paid real good. They get paid good. On my job, I was making almost $30 an hour. But here, school bus drivers get paid $23. And then after they get the CDL, they get paid more. So that's not bad for where I live. And so long story short, I called the man up. I said, look, I left my job. I really want to drive the school bus. You think I can come in for an interview? Well, let me tell you how God got the moving and working. The next day, I was sitting down and William said, well, why don't you call your old job? I used to do caregiving. I had a client. He said, won't you call and see if you can get some work for her? And I just thought, he was like thinking, look, this girl didn't need to work. She just needs to work. We need money coming in, right? We got bills to pay. That's where I thought he was coming from. So I called her up and she was like, no, I texted the overseer and she was like, well, let me think about it. I'll get back to you. So I didn't know one way or another there, but I called the school bus. I said, left a voicemail. The next day, okay, that evening, the lady texted me back. She said, look, the overseer, she said, meet me at the gym because the client goes to the gym. And it's a client that I used to work with. I love. She's great, great person to work with. And so when she was like, meet me, let's talk. And I was like, okay. And then, lo and behold, my phone rang. Now, look, the school won't open that day. It was teacher's work day. My phone rang. It was transportation. So if the school ain't open, ain't no buses running. This man named Brian happened to check the person's voicemail that I left the voicemail on and called me up on the day that they weren't open. And he did a interview over the phone, and then he said, there's something else I can't remember right now, Barbara. But then when I got off the phone, he said, I'm going to send something in and get somebody to look over your application you had submitted, and then we'll go from there, you know, see if we can get you in for a second interview, something like that. And so anyways, I was like, oh, Father God, I don't know what to do. I said, you know, my old job done called me, now the school bus. I was like, look, Father God, just please lead this, orchestrate this whole thing. I don't want to take that, you know, caregiving position if that's not for me. So lo and behold, I went and met with the lady at the gym, the overseer, and she was just, we just, you know, chit-chatted at first, and she was just loaded down with a lot of care. So I said, well, I'm thinking in my heart, well, maybe this is why the Lord, I know I'm doing long on the testimony, so cut me off or tell me to make it short if I need to, evangelist. But I was listening to her, and I said, oh, maybe why this is why the Lord wanted me to meet with her, because she's just under a lot of care for me to talk to her. And then we got to talking about the job. I said, well, look, let me tell you. I said, the school bus called me, and I think I'm going to get that job. I said, what if I can get every other Saturday with the client? She said, okay. And then she said, okay. So I was like, perfect. And I went out. I was like, Father God, this is great, right? Because the school bus called me. They said, all right, we're going to put you in for the background check, come in for a second interview. Long story short, I got the job with the school bus. I'm studying now for my CDL for the school bus. Check this out. Because I'll be 55 in April, I can start getting my retirement check from the insurance company, from State Farm. Of course, it ain't going to be what I would get at 62, but that starts in June. Just a little bit, but a little is a lot. And I got my client every other Saturday. And in the summertime, I got her, because the school bus ain't going to be running for 2 months, I'll fill in for them over the summer. So the thing is, now, it ain't the money that I used to make, but when I got to writing down the numbers, I said, you know what? If it all flows the way it's supposed to flow, I can make my bills. But let me tell you the greater thing. I was talking to my sister in Christ, Andrea, and she said, you know, sometimes when you are in a particular situation where, you know, you don't see the money, it ain't there, you really just have to depend on you. It's almost like God put you there so you can depend on him. Like, I don't have a choice but to depend on the Lord. But it ain't about the stuff and things. I want my bills paid because I don't want my husband, you know, freaking out. And I don't say that, you know, to be mean or anything. But it just go to show you that peace that he gave me where I could confidently say, I'm going to have a job by next Friday. Those jobs I had on Thursday. And when he put in my heart, surely you're going to have it, it surely came to pass. And God just takes care of his children, and he provides and he makes sure everything is okay. So I just wanted to share that to glorify him and to give him honor. But what I want more than that is for him to continue doing the spiritual work in my heart so I can get all that murk and wickedness and all that mess out of my heart, because I just want to walk upright before him, although I know I'm saved by grace. But I just want to share a testimony because my God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus, he is all that. God is a provider. He's an overseer. And he's looking out for me. He's looking out for us. So I just hope you all have a blessed day.
Amen. Amen. He's that kind of God. He will work it out for you. And like you said, Minister Shonda, many times we think it's one thing when it's another. God is trying to do something for us. Yeah. And I thank him for it this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He's able to see us through. And we're working on, doing some bigger things for veterans. And I had mentioned that to Minister Shonda the other day. And because I didn't know if she was listening through the podcast or not. And I didn't want her to miss out on it. But we thank God. We give him glory. We give him the honor and praise. God bless you, Brother Anthony, for that testimony. And, yeah, I was listening to Officer Tatum, and he was sharing about what they did to this black young woman in Alabama. It was a black-on-black crime, a bunch of people against this woman. And her mother was in court when, you know, all these things was being told, how they treated a daughter and made her suffer and all this stuff. And he was saying it was a black-on-black crime, so nobody black is even saying nothing about it. The president, nobody. Obama, nobody. But if had it been a white person that, and they lynched her, a white person that lynched her, everybody and his cousin would have been on top of her. Al Sharpton, everybody, NAACP. But black on black crime, everybody sit back like it's the norm. This is what should happen. That is crazy. That's what it is. You think because the other person is black, they deserve to die at your hand, and you black? Why can't you come together and work it out with your brother? But like Brother Anthony said, all in Chicago, everywhere, Brother Anthony, they come up with the gang thing. But I think on this, when they stand, or when some of them die, they don't come back to give a testimony. They stuck there forever. Remember he said that there was a lot of jail cells? They stuck there forever. He kept falling. And he said the darkness was darker than any darkness he had ever seen at night or anything, or we ever saw. He talked about the woman who gossiped. He talked about a woman who couldn't forgive. He said these people stuck in hell. They can't come out. And if you go out and try to tell them these things, they won't believe you. But I at least try. I want to try. Because he wished that none should perish. But I tell you, many parents have done a real bad job when it comes to their children. And their children are messed up. Yeah. And then sometimes you do the best that you can. You train them up in the way they should go. And when they get old, they still depart from it because they want to do what they want to do. And some stay out there too long. But I thank God. I went out, got my testimony, and came on back home to him. Yeah. And I don't have to go back out there for nothing. Mm-mm. Nothing out there I want. Hallelujah. Mm. Jesus. Yeah. And I see so many other things. A lot of movies on TV, on video now, DVD, whatever. That actually happened. That was the way people was treated. But guess what? What's going to happen when you get to hell? You can't come out. Mm-mm. So listen, we thank God this morning for both testimonies. God bless you, Minister Shonda. That was a wonderful testimony right there, because God is able to see us through anything if we can but trust him and wait on him. He's coming. He's coming. So listen, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all that has been said and done. We thank you for this day. I thank you for every caller and every listener, those coming through the archives and the podcast. And Father, as we depart this morning, bless every caller and every listener this day. Bless their family and friends near and far. Lord, you know what we, your people, standing in need of. Encourage our hearts. Inspire our minds. Fix our hearts, Father. Regulate our minds today in the name of Jesus. And whatever's not of you, Father, help us to turn away from it in Jesus' name. We thank you this morning. And help us to think on good things, whatever's true, whatever's honest, whatever's just, whatever's pure, whatever's lovely, whatever bring a good report, Father. And help us to wait on you. Help us to remember that hell is real and it enlarges itself daily. And Lord, don't let us just hear that and brush it off. But Lord, let us seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. Help us to diligently seek you concerning these things that we need to stay focused on in the name of Jesus. Bless those that are sick this morning, touch and heal. Father, bless those that are incarcerated and those that are in every branch of the military. Father, those that's been in every branch of the military, bless this morning. And Father, we ask today that you would bless widowers and bereaved families and intercessory prayer people, preachers in Israel and Jerusalem. And Father, all our brothers and sisters overseas, everywhere, bless today, strengthen today, shield and protect today in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you would continue to bless America and the leadership. Have mercy upon us today, O God. And Lord, help us to come back to you wholeheartedly. Let us sell out unto you. Give up our flesh for you, O God, in the name of Jesus. As we depart this morning, Father, bless our going out. Bless our coming in. Meet the need in our lives according to your riches and glory by your Son, Christ Jesus. Lord, those that stand in the need of finances today, move by your Spirit, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask it all. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another in the name of Jesus. Go today in love and peace. Share the good news of Jesus and give someone something of quality. Have a blessed day. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you today, March the 14th, 2024. In Jesus' name. So at this time, we're going to our last song of the morning. And after this one song, I won't be coming back. God bless you.
A sound came from heaven like a rushing wind.